Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 9. It begins, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make 3 shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I dearly love. I'm very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, be with us today as we let these words sit in our heart, as we let them transform in front of us, as we look up the side of the mountain to the clouds, we know that we're waiting to hear that voice, a voice that will change our hearts and lives. Today, let's listen to what Jesus is saying. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I sometimes find it interesting, this whole lectionary thing in the church. If you don't know, every week of the year we're given 4 Bible verses that guide the church through the year and the seasons. Today, by the church calendar, we're about to start a new season, which is Lent. But before we get there, something needs to happen, which is this: some change and some waiting. 2 things that people in a church love, right? Change and waiting. So let's begin, shall we? No, I think we should wait. Just to let you know, I took 300 words out of my sermon so I could wait 3 minutes, but I'm not going to do that. If there's one thing in the world that we hate, it's waiting. A couple of weeks ago, Stephanie and I got new phones. It was a fiasco. It's still a fiasco. We go into a corporate Verizon store and we sit down and we decide on what we are going to get. We work through all the paperwork. We sign here, we sign there. They take my debit card and I pay for the taxes and fees. It comes to around $230-ish. Yep. Not a cheap feat, right? Then they tell us that the phones will be shipped and we should have them in 2 days. So we wait. And we wait. 2 days pass. And a couple more days pass. I hop on the old Googleator and I look up and here's what it says. Not shipped. Not shipped. I call the salesperson who sold me the phones and he avoids me. So I stop in the store and they're literally clueless and send us to deal with the people on the phone, also known as corporate Verizon. And they're like, "We don't know why they haven't shipped." So we say, "Just cancel the order." And so it all began. Stopped into another store, non-corporate, and we got new phones because we just canceled our order. And here we are, almost a month later, and Verizon still has not refunded our money. Call after call of them saying, "We will," nothing. But I digress. What I'm saying is this: we hate waiting. And the whole idea about patience, it may be on our list of virtue somewhere, but we never stick to it. The truth is this, waiting is nothing new, and we aren't the first people to have to deal with it. So today we've heard two readings, right? One from Exodus and the other from Matthew's gospel. These two verses, they fit hand in hand. If we look at Exodus, we get this moment from Moses where he connects with God on Mount Sinai. It is a moment, if we can call it a moment, that transforms Moses. And this moment is an essential one. And why is that? Because this is where the people of Israel find out, as they face the next 40 years trampling through the wilderness, that their leader does communicate with God. And because of that, God will communicate with them. But there is this small issue that takes place, which is this. The people waited 40 days to see Moses once he went up the side of Mount Sinai into the clouds. And we all know what can happen in 40 days, but this also reminds me of life. And it reminds me of biblical life, just like in Exodus. It convinces us that there is nothing rushed about our encounters with God. Just like when God called Moses up to the mountain, God said, "Come and wait." And Moses tells the elders, "Just wait. Wait until I come back." And Moses went. He spent 6 days in the clouds even before God ever spoke a word. For 40 days and nights, everyone waited. And when you wait that long, you know something is going to happen. If I could continue on with Exodus, we could see the change the people see in Moses. We could talk about when Moses descended, his face and skin looked different. We could talk about the proof that Moses was in the presence of God. We could talk about the trust and the fear that came with it all. But today, I'm more about what Matthew is giving us in his gospel. Why wait? Why wait for 40 days when we can see it all in just 6 days? And that is how it begins for Jesus on that mountain experience. 6 days. What was the comment 6 days all about? Well, here's what happened 6 days before. First, Peter publicly professed Jesus as God's son. And if he would have stopped there, maybe all of this stuff wouldn't have happened. But Peter didn't. He went on and he was called Satan. Then he was accused of hindering the whole kingdom process. So what I'm saying is this. For 6 days, Peter probably got some bad looks from those around him. Probably even a few from Jesus. But still, they're hanging out. As Peter is dodging the glances from the rest of the crew, as they all looked at him thinking that it was him rather than themselves. Whatever it was, 6 days is a long time to wait under those conditions. But then Jesus did something. He figures that Peter and the treatment that he has been receiving, it's gone on long enough. So he calls Peter out. And maybe in this moment, maybe Peter is thinking, oh, here it comes again. But Jesus instead says this, let's go on a little field trip. And go up a mountain. This inner circle of friends, this remedial class of young men. And what happens on that mountain defies description. The words that you can use to describe it all can easily escape a mount. It can easily hinder the mind. So what does Peter do? He speaks. I know what you're all thinking right now. When will Peter ever learn to stay quiet? Maybe he's making up for what happened 6 days ago. Maybe he's sick of the silent treatment. But this time, he doesn't get rebuked. He doesn't get called out. No, what happens is this. He's overlooked. Or maybe this is better. Overspoken. By a voice, one coming from a cloud, and here's what it says. This is my son whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him. Okay, so I'm going to get a bit personal here for a moment, if that's okay with you. Y'all know me. Y'all, I'm on a journey. Y'all heard that last week, right? I'm on a journey. 8 years ago, I was deferred by the Board of Ordained Ministry. I was told to work on a couple of things. My heart was broken. I spent time in therapy. I spent time working on myself to become a better minister and a pastor. I've studied. I've built many a relationship. I've seen the fruits that you all have produced. So I decided it was time to go back and do it again. Now, I was deferred again. Yep. As Liz told you last week, after 8 years of waiting, only to wait some more. Now, how did I start my sermon? We hate waiting, right? The hurt, the anger, the embarrassment, the disappointment, it all came rushing back to me. I felt my worth quickly dissipate. And I asked myself, why do I do all this? Why not just throw in the towel, walk away, go find a different career, and just give it all up? And the answer to that is this: because I think the system needs to be changed. And nobody is willing to do it. So I'm going to fight until it is. So like Jesus today, like the group of people standing on the side of the mountain, I have to ask this question: is it worth waiting for? Is it worth waiting for? And that is the question. To the disciples, it was worth the wait. Will it be the same for me? I expect it. But those disciples, they were transfixed by the experience. And as they heard the voice, they had this experience. Guess what they had to do? They were told they had to wait some more. And unlike me, they probably appreciated it. But they, unlike me, didn't have to try and explain it to everyone. And they took the time. They probably dwelled on it. They probably reflected on it. And then maybe something would occur to them. Or maybe they would begin to grasp that the glory revealed is sometimes more subtle than we can realize. I certainly hope so. Let me get back. Sorry about what did I call it? I was venting. I have a right to do that. It's my pulpit, right? It's probably why I didn't get, no, I'm just kidding. Let me get back to these two texts, because there are some things that I want to point out, like the clouds. Why are they important? What is the purpose of biblical clouds? A cloud is more than just this vessel of moisture. Clouds speak of presence. They speak of obscurity. Let's think of the people on these mountains. They saw, but they didn't see. Which makes me think, how often does something like that happen to us? Just when we think we've caught the sight of something, just when we think we have it all figured out, a doubt arises. When a question is asked that we can't answer, when a circumstance happens that weighs heavenly upon us, when our vision is obscured by earthly things rather than godly things, what I'm saying is this, that there are too many things that make us hesitant, uncertain, causing us to see with blurred vision rather than clarity. But today something great happens with that cloud. A voice came out. And that is what is amazing about this story today, that through it all, through the blurred vision, through the rebuked words, through the unclarity of life, that through these things, glory, God's glory was revealed. From a cloud, a voice spoke. From a cloud, instructions were given. And these things were given after a fumbled attempt to make meaning of something, to provide some permanence to this incredible event. It came when the shame rose up. In a world that is filled with hate, disappointment, grief, the blurred human reality. There were only two things that came from that cloud, a declaration of love and some simple instruction. Friends, if there's anything that you take away from this message today, let it be this. Why do we make things so complicated? I know we want something deep. We want something that's so profound. We want it to be obscure. But why overcomplicate our lives? God knows that. Jesus knows that. Moses, well, today, all that matters in the thick of it all is this, is that every day we get to live into this cloudy invitation of love. Every day. And because of that, we are asked to simply pay attention and listen to Him. And when we begin doing that, the human side begins to erode and the spiritual side begins to fill in. Let's come out of the cloud. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's live a life that's in the gospel. Let's be better disciples. Let's transform the kingdom and let love guide you in all you do. Because when you do, when you see the glory revealed, and there won't be a light show. It probably won't be on top of a cloud-covered mountain, nor will it be in a devouring fire. It will be in the love of the stranger, the love of the kingdom people, because we are all loved, and that is why we are all here, simply to love. Amen.